The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Tuesday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station, the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX-FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It's a cloudy day, at least in the morning it is, here in Paradise, but kind of cool too, when I got in the car this morning, right? The car, like they say up in the Bronx. I saw 77 degrees on the dash. I was like, what? But it been like that because last night, we've been getting that showery rain or something. Every time I look wrong and check, you're hearing that shower like sound. You know what I'm saying? Which is good. Because we bracing ourselves for them dog days in the summer when it's going to get up there. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like that. We're going to take it to check. We got Raymond Williams calling us in a little bit to talk about the lottery. And they had the big drawing last week. You know what I'm saying? And they got some other run-ins going on. A lot of sponsorships. Every time you turn around, the lottery, Virgin Islands Lottery, they are supporting events here in the territory. So definitely want to wrap with Executive Director, or Director of the Lottery Office, Mr. Raymond Williams. Also trying to link with Ian Tombo. Village opened last night. Got a week of events going on in St. Thomas, I believe. WTJX staff going to be heading over the way. Going over the way? Right? You know how we run things. Our carnival coverage is, you know, a staple. That's my favorite word for carnival this year. Check. So, the annual rite of spring here in the Virgin Islands. And I'm trying to squeeze in my friend Dwayne Henry for some bush tea in between Mr. Williams' appearance and hopefully getting Mr. Turnbull on to talk about carnival and what's up for the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? Food fair, juve, lot of action in the village, parades, horse races. I think the boat race was last week Sunday, right? Normally the boat race will be the Sunday after carnival. Now people who don't go boat race, though. A lot of family who have been flying down from the States that have got to Megan's Bay and all that stuff. So it's carnival, baby. You know what I'm saying? So you know how it is. So, you know, I was watching the NBA last night. You know, the great LeBron James came into the league in 2003. Right? October, November-ish. I think it was November. Back then, the league used to start the first week of November. Now it starts the mid to the last week of October. So that's 21 and a half years ago. And the Lakers have always had a great following. Lakers and the Celtics are arguably the two highest profile teams, regardless of record, in the NBA. In recent years, it's been the Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs prior to that with Tim Duncan. And all that. And then every so often, the other teams with great players, they'll sprinkle in a championship here. Like right now, Denver. They got Nikola Jokic. Milwaukee got Giannis Antetokounmpo. Knicks got a big following on St. Croix, for obvious reasons. A lot of people, family, they're in New York, and I mean. But the Denver Nuggets, man. They sent the Lakers to Cancun last night. You know what I'm saying? So that's three teams now, because also last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder knocked out the New Orleans Pelicans. And of course, Sunday night, Minnesota had already sent the Suns packing. But Denver, that's a, they're like vampires now, man. You know what I'm saying? And Lakers played their heart out. But at Denver, they just got too much firepower. They got three players that are giving you 25 a night. Last night, combined, Jamal Murray, he's from Canada, by the way, Jokic, and a guy named Michael Porter Jr. Between the three of them, they were good for 83 points. And the team only scored 106. So that tells you 80% of the points came from three players. And in the end, it was a back and forth, shot to tie, shot to take the lead, up by one, bam, bam, bam. And right at the buzzer for the second time in the series, consecutive Mondays, Jamal Murray, son. He got a clutch gene. That's what they'll call it. You know what I mean? So, the season's over for the Lakers. Of course, the question now is LeBron, you know what I mean? Coming back. You know, the Olympic team, a lot of the guys, after the USA team lost in the World Championships last year, a lot of the older players saw this as an opportunity to claim they want to be on the Olympic team after not playing on the Olympic team for a number of years. You know what I'm saying? Like a LeBron James, right? After he played on three Olympic teams, 2004, 2008, 2012, and they won the gold medal in 2008 and 2012, right? He didn't play in 16, didn't play in 20, right? He had his window. Now he wanted to play in 24. And of course, the Olympics didn't happen in 20 because of COVID. It happened in 21. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry gonna play on the Olympic team for the first time. So he, LeBron and Kevin Durant, they got plenty of time to rest up because they done sent packing already. Right? Bermuda, Bahamas, Cancun, Cabo, Virgin Islands, we there. You know what I'm saying? It looks like we are seeing a changing of the guard. Younger players on these other teams in playing. And they got something we don't call in sports known as father time. Father time is undefeated, right? That's a beautiful way of saying old age, right? And them young boys, my son. You got a boy named Anthony Edwards from Minnesota. You don't call him Ant. So he raised up and dunked it and two-man head that night. Last night, Jamal Murray dunked it on LeBron James. Hey, that man ain't waiting for nobody, my son. That man want that money now. And check, so. It's going to be interesting, you know. Hopefully, we could get some of our young players to be NBA caliber to give us a team to root for, right? But the playoffs are nice, man, because every night you got game. And you can see all the game them. If you're in there on TNT or NBA TV, they're on ESPN or ABC. And check. I remember, though, you know, back in the day, we used to, like, prior to the mid-80s, 83, 84, we had to wait a week to see the game, man. The game used to be on tape. And once we got cable TV, that kind of accelerated, you know, them showing us the games live and all that stuff, like in 83, 84 and somewhere around there. Even after we got cable, you know, we still were getting it a week late. But we had done see the highlights already. You know what I mean? So that was kind of played out. But beginning in 83, 84, we started seeing the games live and all that stuff. The only thing we used to see live on TV was when they had World Series and Super Bowl and playoffs and so on. It used to come on the two Puerto Rican stations, WAPA and WKAQ. And we used to see live tennis on Channel 12. They used to show tennis like every Tuesday night, I think it was. Right here on Channel 12. You know, so that was only live sports used to get back then when we had WABC, Channel 8, and WBNB, Channel 10. Right? We used to have to wait a week. You know, it ain't like that no more, my son. Right? So join the playoffs and all that stuff. And hopefully we could see some of our younger talent. Oh, They showed a clip of Caitlin Clark practicing, working out with the Indiana Fever. And, of course, Aaliyah Boston is on that team. And that Caitlin Clark, that's a bad lady. You know what I'm saying? And they showed her making a step back three from like 25, 30. They tell her that I know. Aaliyah Boston going to be an all-WNBA player this year because of the presence of Caitlin Clark. That they can't double-team Aaliyah like they used to. Can't do it no more. If you double-team off of Caitlin Clark, that's three. You know what I'm saying? And if you double-team Caitlin Clark, that's two from Aaliyah Boston. So look for the Indiana Fever, right, to make significant headway this year. Okay? So, I think I'm running in Cleon, right? I think that's my mommy name. I think I spoke with her. Yeah, I think that's my mommy name. Okay? So, yeah. Look for your daughter to take another step in the right direction this year. Let me see when the WNBA season start. Oh, look, this young lady, Caitlin Clark, she is so popular that May the 3rd. So the season start? Preseason. That's preseason. Okay. When the Indiana team, right, goes to Washington, they had to move the game from a certain arena to the Washington Wizards arena because so many people bought tickets. Okay? Indiana Fever, yeah. So many people bought tickets to want to see Caitlin Clark play. Right? I want to find this story. They're playing the Washington Mystics. Change of arena. I think that's what it is. Okay, here it is. April 18th. Right? This is the story out of Washington, D.C. It said, due to the unprecedented demand, the Washington Mystics announced that the game against the Indiana Fever on Friday, June 7th, will now be played at the Capital One Center. Hold on, I got a text message. Right? At the Capital One Arena. Tip-off will remain at 7:30 p.m. Right? It's existing ticket members and plan holders will have their seats relocated to similar locations in the COA, the Capital One Arena. Right? The move to the Capital One Arena will allow for additional fans in the stands, as well as premium hospitality options, including suites and an all-new inclusive courtside Hennessy Lofts. Right? There has been unprecedented demand for the WNBA this season, due in large part to the talent of incoming players from this season's collegiate draft, right? So, you know, right? Including Washington's first-round pick, Aaliyah Edwards. Wow. This is the Indiana Fever. You know what I'm saying? Coming to D.C. on Friday, June 7th. Caitlin Clark. She signed a contract, I believe, with Nike. A lot of the shoe companies, right, were recruiting her, wooing her, right, to wear their sneakers. And her deal, she signed a $28 million endorsement deal with Nike, and she get her own signature shoe. So the ladies, lady power, is in full effect. So Ali Abbas is going to benefit from Caitlin Clark joining the team, and Caitlin Clark will benefit from Ali Abbas already being in Indiana. We got the lottery office director on the line, Mr. Raymond Williams from the Mecca, Outer Grove, joining us. Good morning, Mr. Director. How are you?
Morning, everyone. Morning. It's hard to kick in the sinuses, but other than that, my life is well, and thanking God for another beautiful day on this earth.
Yes, sir. Cloudy this morning, but we're taking it, you know what I mean? Nice like that. So,
yeah,
so you had the big drawing last week, you had an event the day of the big drawing over there at Fort Christian, right?
At the Emancipation Garden.
Emancipation Garden, okay.
Carnival comes to the garden. We did it last year. We did it this year. It was the day before our drawing. So it's about giving our dealers the opportunity for sales. So the carnival in the village featured music all day. we had some of the groups that we've sponsored in the past come and do like a mini parade. You know, we had, you know, we partnered with Caribbean Lottery, so they too could have worked on their sales. So it was a great day all together. The market was full. Got a lot of tourists that came through and purchased tickets. You know, so it really worked out extremely well. It's a major event for us each year. You know, our version of pumping up Carnival and Iraq City. So that went extremely well. The good news is that all the prizes, the bonus prizes that we had, the vehicle for 2023, Ford Escape, we had a cruise or two on the Icon of the Seas. We had a package deal with gas and food for $1,000. Whoever won that can do a combination of both, or they could choose to just do one. And then we had a 5,000 home makeover. All of those bonus prizes were sold. So we have at least four or five happy people out there that didn't come in to claim it, interesting enough. But so somebody gonna be driving around this week here in Sinalas or in Secor with a brand new vehicle, you know. So the thing is about encouraging sales. It's about trying to get our customers satisfied. You know, I run into people every day complaining that they don't win. But you know, it's a game of chance. I encourage our customers to keep playing. You know, every one of the things that I've been recognizing as of recently, the trend is changing. The focus is changing because we have a lot of what I call our classical customers that have been buying lottery for the last 30 years. Those numbers are dwindling down. These people are either dying, they're aging out. So our focus now is to see how do we capture and include that younger demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm
in hold on right there. So let me take a break and then when we come back.
Sure.
We'll pick up the discussion on the focus with a younger demographic as relates to lottery and game a chance here in the territory. We got the director of the Virgin Islands Lottery, Mr. Raymond Williams, joining us. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analyze This, and we're talking with Virgin Islands Lottery Director, Rima Williams, and we're going to be talking with Mr. Ian Tumble, in hour number two. He's going to give us the rundown on what to expect for the remainder of Carnival Week over in St. Thomas. So, good morning once again, Mr. Williams. Glad to have you on. And you were talking about targeting a younger demographic so that they could be regular players, right? That's what this is about, to fill that void?
Right, correct. Absolutely correct. It's about trying to fill the void, to expand our sales capacity, and just to ensure that the product stays alive, you know.
Now, we've had people who've been playing the same number for 40, 50, 60 years, right?
Yeah, factually, yep.
Right, that's awesome. Let me ask about the Powerball. I heard that when we had the big drawing, right? Remember, it went over a billion. It's going over a billion regularly now, right?
Yeah, the 1.3 billion.
Yeah, I think the winner was in Oregon or something, right?
Correct. And that person just came forward.
It just came forward. Okay. Right. You got to put your security detail in place, you know, because you've experienced a life-changing, you know what I mean? What's the right word here? Dynamic, right?
Right.
And there's an element out there that like to target people. You know what I'm saying? So you got to put it. You got to put that security in place. But what I noticed was that night, they had to delay the drawing because of some dynamics. There's a lot that goes into from a security standpoint with all the different states that's involved. There's a lot that goes into the process before they actually have that live drawing so people could see that there isn't anything nefarious or corrupt taking place, right?
Absolutely, and I'm happy you brought up that point because back during election, the evening of our last general election, there was a situation where it's called a lockdown process. So how that drawing takes place is a consortium of all the states that are members of that consortium that participate in this so-called draw. The drawing takes place in Jacksonville. The literal drawing takes place in Jacksonville. But each member of the consortium has to reconcile the draw process and the draw numbers. So if a state isn't in balance, is a term, then that shuts down that entire drawing and a process. And until that state balances, the physical drawing does not happen. So back 2 years ago, almost election time, one state, and I won't call it in, but had that problem. And as a result of that, every other state has to go into shutdown. Now, when you go into shutdown, whomever is assigned to do the drawing for your state, which is my staff, they go into what you would probably know as a fusion room or center, where they're literally locked in there and they cannot leave until every state balances. That's how that process used to work. Now, as of recent, the consortium has rethought that process because it generally wasn't fair for a state to have to hang around if they were in balance and the other state wasn't. So that process just recently changed. But that's how that used to be. And back with that specific drawing, one state was out of balance, forced all the other states to hang around. But long story short, you know, it took place. So I'm happy you raised that point.
That was, I think it was Minnesota. I'm not sure, but I think it was Minnesota had a problem that night. Let me ask this question. Suppose a Virgin Islander hit a $500 million lottery and they say, I want the cash option, which is 240, 250, whatever it is. Who gets all that tax money?
The government of the Virgin Islands.
The government of the Virgin Islands get all that tax money from the player or from the drawing?
No. That money comes from the what's known as Muscle. Muscle is multi-state.
The multi-state, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, they would write the check to the state. That's what they do now. You know, when we have winners here, whatever percentages in terms of taxes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's reverted to us. But it would be reverted to us and then we would have to deposit that in the government and the treasury out of here.
So if somebody hit one of these big drawings, then they balance in the government budget. The government owe them their man. Oh gosh, man.
Trust and believe. I don't pray on games, but just a feeling, just a thought. If somebody in the Virgin had won $1.3 million.
And the payout, I believe the cash payout of like $590 or $630 or something, somewhere around there, just under half. Where the rest of the money going?
Forget about the payout. Give me the answer. Do the math. 28% going to the government. How much are we?
28% for the person or for the drawing?
For the draw, the $1.3 billion.
$1.3 billion. Okay, so that means you're supposed to say 28%.
Yeah, roughly 28%.
So 10% is 130 million, right?
Right.
So we do that again to get to 20%, right? So we get to $260 million, and we still got another 8%, right? So that's 130 minus 26, right? Because we go go back down now because it ain't a full 30%. Right? So you subtract that, bam, 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 that's 104. So you're telling me that the person that wins a $1.3 billion drawing, the state, good for $364 million in tax money, Mr. Director?
Roughly, yeah, roughly, correct.
You know what the rest of my name someone here that said, Ja! Rastafari. Yeah, could you imagine that check coming to the Virgin Islands? At that point, right, the legislature has the authority to determine how that's spent, or that going into the government treasury to pay bills?
Well, I can only say that the check will come to the government as the
eye. Wow.
Who cuts it up? That's the
army. we go pass a law, right, so that the person that take that risk, right?
Yeah.
Get some kind of lifetime amenity or something for balancing the government budget. Wow. That's interesting.
But yeah, the things that money would do to help not only balance your budget, the government budget, but, you know, probably it's like ARPA dollars, you know what I mean? Like bringing in free money, like, you know, so... But that's not the case today. But anyway,
we're back on the regular cycle now with respect to drawings.
Yeah. So we're back doing. Excuse me. Our next drawing is next Thursday. It's a short draw cycle. You know, that carnival. We're closed. Thursday and Friday, so. You're looking at one to purchase, you got tomorrow, one, two, three, Now, 4 more days in the draft cycle of the process, because the draft is on May 9th. So I'm encouraging our customers to come out and get your tickets early.
That's next week. That's next week, Thursday, May the 9th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a very short draft cycle. So I just encouraging our faithful and truthful customers to get their tickets early. Don't wait. Don't hesitate.
The lottery, also known as the Virgin Islands sponsoring department.
I don't know,
are you sponsoring anything at the races Friday?
Yes. Well, you know, as a part of the settlement agreement and the development agreement, I can't quote you specifically because I don't, that agreement has been passed about 2 years ago and it's something that is in my head. But the general idea is that we, for the purses, there's a certain percentage, a general breakdown in shares, in revenue shares, between the contractor and the VA lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And of the lottery's percentage, everything up to almost 0.25, everything else goes into the horse racing product. So, I think the fund.
That's pursuant to Racino legislation, right?
Not Racino. It's pursuant to the amended.
Or the agreement that the legislature agreed to in April of 2022.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, as a matter of fact, I started to pull it up yesterday because I wanted to make sure that whatever our rule was.
Are they building a gaming center at the Clinton Phipps Racetrack?
Yes, sir. The gaming center is almost, and that gaming center will be operated by the promoter of the racetrack. I don't have a specific projection on what date that will be open, but the goal right now is to get a racetrack race ready for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you another thing. If you had the opportunity to get out there. I've been to the facility maybe in the last 8 to 9 months, maybe once every other month.
Mm-hmm.
I have been going there recently, like every few weeks. If you see the change, the transformation, the construction, the work that Southland Gaming and Truist contractors are doing, it's phenomenal. You know, normally in the government, you let contracts, and it takes, probably Joseph, for example, it takes 20 years to build. They, within less than, I would say, 18 months after that, the amendments were made, it was approved, and it was aggregated and all of that. The contractor, Southland Gaming, started the construction of that project from the system after the groundbreaking. It has a phenomenal site system that runs the entire gamut of the stadium. And if you go there 2 weeks ago, like the VIP boxes were just framed up. I was out there last week. She cracked everything down there, place. They stucco all the walls. I mean, the place is painted up nicely. The jockeys' housing.
The jockey quarters. Yeah.
Quarters. Nothing is so designed that they have quarters for female as well as male jockeys. Showers, lockers. An area where they can sit and look at what's happening around the track, where they can look at the coming up race or something like that. Then you have the where they dress up the hats them. Mino hash race.
The paddock area.
Okay. Yeah. All of that stuff is done. On one side, the side that faces the racetrack, there are like 6 bays for them to dress up the hats and do whatever. Backside of that.
Yeah, it'll call that 6 stalls in the paddock. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah, no. You know, I'll go talk to your boy. I'm going to take care of you. You know that. You know how we do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what it is.
They have quarters for...
When Hawk and Gajo them were taking advantage of people out of the Grove, you had no reward them then, but you ain't know it now. Are you?
Hey,
man.
Don't beat
me up. When Hawk, Bastian and Gajo and Cox, right? And Teddy Bro and Dennis and Alan them were bringing Hans Van Grove and Austin Williams. You know the word them then, but you're acting like you ain't know the word them now. Keeping an eye on you, I watch you.
I,
know.
I, I don't know the terminology. I just
having fun. I reminiscing about the days when Grove used to have high impact in his race. Your boy, Delroy, right? Byron, yeah, Chocolate, yeah. Yeah. Alayo had impact out of the Mecca, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey. You're going to represent what you are.
exactly, man. Yeah.
I don't tell people, don't back to me. Don't envy and jealous me because I love where I come from.
Yeah, no, sir. No, man. And when are you bring us to face bow tie for Doc James, you take the gash like you're supposed to take it. Hark them with Mr. West. Van Dong. Yeah. But that's how it is. So are you saying that the for those who haven't been out to the Clinton Fields facility, they're in for something that's going to be very pleasing to the eyes when they get there this week, Mr. Williams? Mr. Sponsor?
Not only just pleasing to the eyes, it's a whole brand new dynamic.
Ooh.
So you, man, you know about Hass Racing. You have a very vivid imagination. As a picture, what Clinton Fields used to look like, racetrack used to look like,
mm-hmm.
4 years ago. Or 6 years, how many years ago? And when you see that new product, and I'm telling you and the audience that the racetrack game finish is not completed. It's just being prepared. Calvert and his people, big kudos to them. Southman Gaming, huge kudos to them. The Bobby Huckabee and those guys. Because they're taking night and making day to mature. And Friday, God's willing, we are not horse races.
Yeah.
There's going to be a grand opening further down the road
mm-hmm.
when everything is completed.
Mm-hmm.
But we...
No, you know me. You go way back, right? I want the public to know, right? And I'm stating my bias right now, right? I am a VIGL man. Okay, so I just want you to know. I love you to death, right? Yeah, you go way back. Use Nehemiah and I's Nicholas. But I's a VIGL man on the St. Croix side, so...
And I'm good with you being,
you have your business relationship representing the lottery office with Southland Gaming. They are the operator for VLTs, and it is what it is. But respect nonetheless.
But I appreciate you clarifying that because I've been drawn and quartered over the fact that I am a Crucian, and instead of building Crucian Racing, I've been listening to Amateur Racing. My job is a territorial position. But where it comes to gaming, I am responsible gaming in St. Thomas and St. John, not on St. Croix. So, you know,
correct.
It's not about...
Correct. But you know I can do that. As it stands right now, video lottery terminals are legislated to be functional in the district of St. Thomas and St. John. This is not a Raymond Williams thing. This is exactly. The law. Okay?
Yeah.
So you know I gonna clarify. That's why we're an NPR station. We have an obligation to do that.
And I so appreciate that. Trust
no,
me.
I can do that. And we're good for that. So look, man, first of all, congrats on what you're doing so far this year. The Virgin Islands Sponsor Department, also known as the Lottery Office. And looking forward to talking with you, Ms. Kiva Muller, and your people, Jakima, and tell her I send my love, you know what I'm saying, like we always do. And you be good, man. Good talking to you, man.
Okay, Doc. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
You got it. That's Raymond Williams. George, man. I'm going to clarify some more about our gaming landscape here in the territory. Be back right after this.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Meet the father of video art, Nam June Beck.
He prepared the television to become something other.
He was unconventional.
Artwork as a statement.
Revolutionary.
To have this ability to put it together, you have to destroy it.
And ahead of his time.
I realized he was describing the internet.
Explore the genius of Nam June Beck.
I don't make art. Art make me.
On American Masters.
Tune in May 2nd at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Back here at Analyzers, I want to thank the sponsor department director, also known as the lottery office, because they sponsor so many different things. Mr. Rima Williams for joining us here this morning to let us know about their role in the staple that is horse racing, coming back to be a part of Carnival. The governor said it at the State of the Territory, and looking forward to giving out the Governor's Cup, all that good stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. On Friday, which gives me an opportunity to talk about gaming here in the Virgin Islands, because I'm, you know, somewhat knowledgeable about it, right? Of course, we've had the lottery here in the territory for a long time, right? And that's legal gaming, right? Puerto Rico lottery tickets been sold here in the Virgin Islands as well. That's illegal. But, you know what I'm saying? Certain things happen. You know, with proximity with Puerto Rico, you know. So that would be what we would call black market gambling, so to speak. Right? Okay, illegal. We've got a lot of situations where people in the Virgin Islands have won grand prize in Puerto Rico. And people had to, you got to send the contact man down with the ticket and all that stuff, and I don't know if it would be legal for a Virgin Islander to cash a ticket down there if they weren't in Puerto Rico and didn't purchase a ticket at the time, right? So I think what they do is they find somebody to cash it for them, give them a 10-20% or whatever, and it's a tax-free deal. Money is mine, right? We've also had gamble shops here in the Virgin Islands, right? Where man like to play dice and card, right? I confess. Conk me in, you know what I'm saying, over the years, you know what I'm saying, I did it, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff, but it is what it is, right? In America, they call it craps, you know what I'm saying, like to play, you know, craps on stage, down here, right, it's bone dice, we used to call it, right, and rummy, and brag, which is really a big St. Thomas game, but let me talk the legal thing. I want to digress into those good old days, you know what I'm saying? Right? Okay, the stories are unbelievable. I know Doc Scully, if you're listening, right? He liked this, right? I got to get out of this story, right? We'd be in, right, the gamble shop, right? Okay, let me start playing dice, right? And it got a certain type of gambler that believe their brain big, right? Whenever you hold a hand of dice, like you might have $60 in your hand, you start shooting the dice. Next thing you know, you got $600, $700. That could happen, right? The next thing you know, let me hold 40, let me hold this. And that's your boys, you know, and everything good, right? But then when they hold a hand of dice now, and they only had 100 and they got to 700, 800, and so let me hold this. It's always, well, I got a bill to pay. I just catching back what I was losing. All kind of smart man talk, man. A classic gamble shop thing. That's why you don't go coop them. right? And one thing about them, right? They're going to come back. That's how they is, they'll come back. I'm going to give you a story, right, about this one gambler. We call it no names, but this is a true story. A lot of Virgin Islanders used to go down to Puerto Rico to gamble in the casinos down in Puerto Rico. This one dude lent, I think it was either $200 or $300 from our boy, right? He went down to Puerto Rico and win $29,000. Half of that raise. That's what you call it. Yeah, raise. He come back and give back that man exactly what that man lent him, man. That's how heartless this dude was. Ward done reach back to St. Croix that he win $29,000. He even said, well, partner, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have been able to even gain the game. Take a towel or whatever, or 1,500 or 2,000. Give back exactly the amount the man Lenny. So the man telling me the story, the man who Lenny telling me the story, you know, when he said that. And you know that man got a gal to come back to me afterward to ask me to lend again. Seriously, some of these guys are heartless. Now we got some, you know, very generous guys. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff, right? But that's the life. But as it relates to legal gambling in territory, right? Outside of the lottery and parimutuel wagering that have been taking place at our racetracks, right? We passed the Resort and Casino Control Act of 1995, which allows for casinos throughout the Virgin Islands. However, your district must be zoned for that type of activity. That's the reason why you don't have casinos in St. Thomas and St. John, because only St. Croix has been zoned for gaming activity under the Casino Control Commission. Because remember now, we're one Virgin Islands, right? So all gaming, all laws are territory-wide, territory-applied, because we don't have municipal government, okay? So always remember that, right? Everything that happens in the Virgin Islands legally, right, is legislated territory-wide, but some activities are not zoned, right, to take place. In the St. Thomas, St. John district, the gaming that is allowed in St. Thomas, St. John, right, because the Resort and Casino Control Act of 1995, the gaming that's allowed for St. Thomas are VLTs, which took place in a 2002 December lame duck session. I like to choke ducks and dough with that one there. It's a lame duck session, right? And that's how VLTs came into existence in the St. Thomas and St. John district. Slot machines are not allowed in St. Thomas and St. John. VLTs, which are video lottery terminals, are not allowed on St. Croix. Right? VLTs are a gaming structure. They're pretty much the same, right? Judge Curtis Gomez, back in April 10th, deemed them to be functional equivalent. However, there's a distinction, right? VLTs are under the lottery umbrella, whereas slot machines on St. Croix, and what we attempted to do back in 2016 to allow for a casino at the Clinton Phipps racetrack before they had the lawsuit and all that stuff. And we can get into that some other time. And I want to get into that. I want to revisit that today, right? Because, you know, we're on the cusp of races coming back on Friday. That's for a different time, right? VLTs are under the guise of the lottery office. Casino slot machines are regulated by the Casino Control Commission. I can say, without any fear of, you know, concerns and all that stuff about what I'm saying, casinos and slot machines are exponentially more regulated than the VLTs. That's just how it is, right? So when we wrote the Racino legislation in 2009, and then in 2009, adapted in 2010, and then amended in 2011, it was about if gaming took place at the Doc James Racetrack on St. Croix, which it did happen, that would be regulated by the Casino Control Commission. If gaming took place at the Clinton Phipps Racetrack in St. Thomas, that would be under the guise of the lottery office. Why? Because there are two different platforms that are allowed for in the territory. And St. Croix, slot machines under the Casino Control Commission, and St. Thomas, video lottery terminals, VLTs, under the lottery office. That's all it was, right? Now, you know, there was consistent pushback against a true Racino-type structure in St. Thomas because they already got their platform over there, right? And Southland Gaming has bragged that what they have on St. Thomas is a program where if you have an establishment like bars and all that stuff, right, and hotels got gaming rooms and all that stuff, all you got to do is go down to the lottery office and tell them, well, I want 5-6 VLTs in my establishment, right? And, of course, your business license got to be right. I would assume that that's how it goes and all that stuff. In when it comes to casino, whole different ballgame, right? Now, as it stands right now on St. Croix, casinos are limited to hotels that get casino license and the racetrack. You know what I'm saying? Now, just to show you the kind of money that was being generated at the racetrack on St. Croix, right? And the casino open, because we only had one casino from 2000 until 2016, the Divi, Carina Bay, that was our only casino. And then Caravel opened in May, June, I think the spring of 2016, right? The casino, the Divi Carina Bay, right? They were also our racetrack promoter. For about 9 or 10 years, right? Right? I think about 10 years, right? From 2005 to 2015 or 2016, right? So 11 years, right? And they had 30 machines at the racetrack in on St. Croix, Dungy Manning's Bay, the Doc James Racetrack, Flamboyant Park, right? And they had 300 machines up at the casino, up in Turner's Hole, right? So we're going to do the math just to let you know, right? For a lot of people, when you go to the casino, it's a big thing. A band playing, so you go dress up and all that stuff. When it comes to going on to the racetrack, T-shirt and jeans, I just want action with a machine, right? I remember the director of the Casino Control Commission testifying before the legislature. I think it was in 2013. And she was given the 2012 numbers at the time. Right? You had 300 machines up at Divi Carina Bay. Right? They generated $14.4 million in slot machine activity up there. And maybe they included the table games as well. Right? So we're going to divide 14.4. Right? 14,400,000. Right? Divided into 300. Right? That means each machine were good for $48,000 per machine. If we're saying that the table games broke even. Down at the racetrack, at Doc James Racetrack, they generated $4.8 million. $4,800,000 with 30 machines. So we're going to divide that into 30. Them each machine down at the racetrack were good for $160,000 per machine. The activity at the racetrack was, let me see, we're going to divide 160. I go guess, right? I believe it's like 3.5, so we'll know. We can divide this 160,000, right, over the 48,000 for up at the racetrack. 3.33 times more revenue generated at the racetrack per machine than up at the casino. Why? It's like people sitting down on the bench out down there by the racetrack waiting to game because they had a limited amount of machines. The reason why they had a limited amount of machine was because we had a taxation tier, right? If you generate X amount of money, your tax would go from 16 to 19 and a quarter. And then if you reach the third tier, your tax would go from 19 and a quarter to 22 and a half. That's why they were limiting the amount of machine down to the racetrack because they didn't want to pay that higher tax rate, even though they would have generated a ridiculous more amount of money had they gone to 60 or 90 machines down there. And of course, their counter-argument was that it's taken away from the casino. Yeah, but you still own all. So what are you telling me? Right? Now the situation is going to be different because VIGL is a competitor with Divic Arena Bay. So we're expanding the platform. Right? So here is my take. Gaming can work territory-wide, but the big winners should be employment for Virgin Islanders, the different departments that benefit, where you steer the money to, education, roads, healthcare, what have you, right? Of course, horse racing for the racinos, and then the breeding industry would benefit as well because in all of those states where they have adopted racino legislation, the purses for horses that were bred in that particular state have gone up 3, 4, 5 times, and that create jobs. Because now you got farms, you got people working at the farms, you got people who own the farms. It's a benefit to everybody, but you got to do it right. It can't be just about let we make money. So, you know, I took the opportunity there to educate the public as to where we at with respect to our gaming platform. And then if we get more hotels and get more airlift, then we big with that as well. There is a social dynamic I'd be concerned about, but, you know, that happens in every aspect of life, so to speak. So, we'll take a break when we come back and we'll talk about more fun and frolic with Ian Tomble, Director of Divisions, the Division of Festivals from Tourism in 9 o'clock hour. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.